Join us on a journey through the strange and the unexplained on Python Radio with Annette Munich.
Temptation heat beats like a drum deep in your veins. I will not love, little sister.
Wednesday night, and we're back with Python Radio. I have with me my very trusty sidekick and co-host, Mr. Dave Harkins from the Ozarks Paranormal Society and Infinity Paranormal. How are you doing this week, Dave?
I'm doing well. How are you, Annette?
I am doing good, you know, cruising along.
Had a busy day today. I barely made it in for the show.
You scared me.
Last five minutes. I was like, oh no, I have to get my cup of coffee and get in there and test my headset and everything. So
I'm like, somebody go out and find him. He's lost.
No, I'm here. I mean, I knew where I was at the whole time, but got a little behind today.
Well, the funny thing was your Skype light was on and then it went off. So I thought that you were there and you were ready, and then you left, but it might have been your computer cycling or something, but it looked like Dave is here early, and now Dave is not here.
I tried to log on my phone version of it, and it doesn't really work too well on my Android phone, so I just logged off it real quick. I was hoping you might be already on, so I could say I might be late, but anyway, here I am.
Yeah, I see. Well, we have a really special guest tonight. We've been looking forward to this for a long time. This is another one of our Paracon speakers, and this lady is so fantastic. She is an author of multiple books, but that's just one part of her personality. She does an awful lot of things, and she has kind of a, I described her when I was putting it out on Facebook as a mystical, magical author. And I really think that kind of, from where I'm sitting, that kind of describes her a little bit. I like her. She's different. And she's with us tonight, and her name is Janice Tremere. Hi, Janice.
Hey, Janice.
Hi.
So we gave you a little build-up there, but we do have a number of books that you've written to talk about, and also some really cool other things that you do. But I think we'll start off just asking you how you got involved in the paranormal, and just sort of take it from there.
Okay. Well, I was always interested in that sort of thing as a kid and everything, and I seem to have kind of a connection. It's not something that I talked about a whole lot. When I was growing up, you really didn't say a lot, you know, if things were odd or out of the normal. I grew up out in the country here in Missouri, and the area I was at, there was quite a few UFO sightings and stuff, and I even saw things when I was a kid, and my brother and sister and everything, and saw it too. And we had there was a gal who was in school, like a grade above me, and her boyfriend was chased by one night, and she had to go through quite a bit of ridicule and stuff like that. So you just sort of kept that thing to yourself.
Right. Yeah, it's not that way so much anymore, but that's kind of a recent development. It used to be that if you started talking about things like that, you know, a lot of people wouldn't believe you and they'd give you a bad time over it.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, think there's something wrong with you and send you to a home or something.
Yeah. So, actually, that's one thing that I did not know about you that I found out by looking over your Facebook page and some of your information is that you are with MUFON and you're a member. And anybody that doesn't know what MUFON is, maybe you can kind of tell them about that.
Yeah, that's the Mutual UFO Network that, you know, people, it's sort of like having weather spotters where, you know, they turn in reports or they'll go check out reports. It's a lot like paranormal investigating where you go investigate reports of UFO sightings and things like that. I was always fascinated by that as a kid. There was one time way back in like 1999 or so, my middle daughter and I went into St. Louis and Dr. Michael Lynch actually was hosting a paranormal convention. And one of his guests was a man from Illinois. Now, I don't remember his name, but he was with a UFO investigative team. And he was showing us some slides and pictures of the various descriptions that people have seen, you know, like that had been under hypnosis. And, of course, you had your grays with the big eyes and stuff. And then there was a big, hairy, kind of ape-looking one and he was telling us how that a lot of times that people will see some of those photographs and a lot of them were never, ever put out on TV, you know, where somebody could say, oh, yeah, I recognize that, but it's because they saw it on TV. So they had a lot of stuff that had never been put out there on TV for people to see so that you didn't have that connection. But he said that a lot of times when they show that to people in like their case studies, if they would recognize some of these pictures, that it might be a sign that they'd been abducted. Well, anyway, they were showing this big, hairy, kind of a Bigfoot-looking type alien, and I just got, like, chills all over me and got not exactly scared, but uncomfortable. And then they were showing a whole bunch of other things, and one of them was a page of writing. And I sat there, and part of me knew what it said, and part of me could almost say it in English, but then another part of me kept fighting against it. And so I told him about it, and he was real interested. He wanted me to come do some sessions with him and stuff, and I just never did. Now I kind of wish I'd gone through with it because who knows what we could have found out. So, but it just kind of freaked me out. Whereas, like, dealing with ghosts or anything like that never freaked me out, but that stuff did whenever I saw things like that, and I'm going, oh, I know what this is, but I can't quite speak it in English, and I was uncomfortable.
Well, that's really interesting. I had a sighting of a UFO myself, and this was not that long ago. It was Mike and my daughter and I in the truck, and there were three of them going over the turnpike. We were coming back from Oklahoma into Joplin. And we actually drove right up underneath it and got to look up and take a really good look at this thing. And it was nothing that resembled any kind of aircraft that we have. And it was just hovering and it had red lights and then it would blink white lights and then it would blink red lights. And there were three just like that. And they were kind of following along the expressway.
Yeah.
I think that it's really getting to be more and more common. In fact, I don't remember the details about it, but there was actually a three-day UFO event here in Joplin, Missouri years ago that made the newspapers where they had so many people that were seeing UFOs. And so I think that there are a number of people that just are kind of like, they don't want to really accept this if they haven't seen it themselves because it will turn over their apple cart of their world. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And where I grew up out in the country was close to I-70. And the UFO guy was talking about how that was pretty much a like a hot spot all along through I-70. And in fact, I think right about that time had been that report of that big triangular looking UFO that had traveled across Missouri into Illinois, because that's where he was from, and following I-70. And also there was a lot of those big old power plants out where I was growing up, and that's where you would see a lot of things hovering above them. And we used to watch. Of course, we lived out in the country, so there wasn't any little street lights, you know, interference, and we could look out our windows at night and see these weird shapes or the round balls of light that would shoot up at a diagonal and shoot across the sky, stop and hover, and then shoot, and it all traveling on a diagonal that planes don't travel that way. So
right.
We saw a lot of weird things.
Well, you know, this is a little off the topic, but someone in the chat room brought up the spook light. And I haven't seen the spook light myself, so I don't know. I'm not an expert or anybody that really has ever experienced this. However, I wonder if sometimes, like, these stories that you find with these spook lights, and there's quite a few of them across the country, if it could be more of a UFO-related event than a paranormal ghost-type event. Like, you know, if you're seeing the light, maybe if you actually looked up in the sky and looked around, you might see something else. Or do you think that that's probably wrong?
I don't know about the other. I know there are several of those type of lights, the ghost lights and everything. We had gone out to try to see the Joplin spook light, and my fiance Dean is with me. He actually just stepped out of the room, but we didn't see it exactly. Some other people who were with us said they saw it, but the paranormal team out of Joplin from the college that took us out there, they said they'd seen it several times, and the way they reported is it was low to the ground. So I don't think that would have been a UFO just by their description of the size and the fact that it was, you know, hovering right above the ground, like, you know, like
right.
The height of a kid or something.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of theories on it being ball lightning or some kind of anomalous gas, or, you know, all the way to being spirits of deceased Indians.
Yeah.
I have not seen it, and I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, I know. We were up on we're out there at the road. We happen to have been up on the hill talking to some other people that were parked up there at the time that the folks who were with us had driven back down the hill and said they saw it out in the field, because where the Joplin team had seen it a lot was across the road in a field. And we were there, but not exactly in the right place at the right time.
Right. Well, with the UFO thing, you know where I live, up here in central Missouri, near Lake of the Ozarks. And we see things in the sky. A lot of people talk about seeing unidentified flying objects and things, you know, just off the wall things in the air. And one thing a lot of these people aren't taking into account is we're actually about 25 miles away from the second largest army base in the United States, Fort Leonard Wood.
Yeah.
And, so sometimes I wonder if the government's not up to a little more than they let on as far as all that goes.
Oh, you think?
Yeah.
Understatement of the year.
We've seen some amazing things here, you know, just off the wall. You speak of the triangular shape. One night, this might have been 20 years ago. We were out, a little ways from here, but actually closer to the base, and saw what appeared to be the quintessential triangular unidentified flying object in the air. And these little red balls like of light were almost like dripping out of it. Mm-hmm. And this happened, this went on for maybe 20 minutes. And then everything was just pretty much gone. It just was, I'd say within 10 seconds, it basically just faded and the whole event was over. And there were several people that witnessed that one.
Yeah, a lot of the things I saw when I was a kid growing up, they would be there and it'd be bright, and I didn't necessarily see like rows of light around it, but the whole thing would be glowing and it would change colors, and then just fade away, or all of a sudden just shoot off out to where, you know, out of sight and everything. So move just really strange, not like an aircraft. I mean, back when I graduated,
that's all this was. It just kind of faded, and then it was just. Nothing. It was just nothing there, you know?
Yeah.
And it was a bit of a cloudy night, too, so we don't know if whatever it was moved up into the clouds, above the clouds, we to this day still don't know. It was just one of those things kind of keeps you scratching your head a little bit.
The thing that we saw also was triangular. And it was very weird because almost the whole ride from Claremore, Oklahoma to Joplin, we could see these. And then it was at one point that we were directly under it and we looked straight up underneath it and saw red lights. And then it went white lights and then it went red lights. And I, you know, was just looking at it. We all looked at each other with the great big eyes and I just made some jokes about it because what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know, just break the tension or something. But there were two other ones like that and they were just sort of following along the expressway.
I kind of joke about all the different movies, you know, like Paul and all these things with the aliens and stuff that were being prepared for the great revelation of, guess what? Yes, they are here among us.
Right.
Yeah, we have somebody in the chat room talking about some of the triangular aircraft that we have, but again, this was hovering, so, you know, if you saw something triangular and it was shooting across the sky, oh, okay, but something that's just hovering.
Yeah.
We don't have anything that can stop and hover unless it's like a helicopter, which makes a lot of noise and has the blades. Yeah. Even at night, you can tell it's a helicopter.
Yeah, the stuff I saw never had any sound, and like I said, it would move really fast and then just stop and hover and then dart again and stop and hover. There was at one time even on the sunset I saw on the horizon in the sunset. It looked kind of like those old, you know, Saturn-shaped type of craft, only, you know, you have the round top and then you have the where the rings would have been on Saturn. And, of course, you see all these in the old movies, you know. But it looked like that a portion of where the ring would have been dropped down like an opening, like some kind of a door to where you could see it split in two. I don't know if that description is making sense to anybody, but it was like as though the bottom half of the ring, the whole thing was opening up like some kind of a big ramp doorway or something. But the craft didn't move. It just hovered there. And then, if I remember correctly, some clouds, you know, covered it up, and the thing was gone. I never saw it leave. It just was no longer there.
Very cool. And I don't know if you saw this, but they had a great big UFO sighting by many, many people in January of 2012 right above the Holy Land. And there's a lot of videos of that on YouTube as well from different angles and different people. And it reminded me of that commercial, you know, that commercial where they're like, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? So I thought this is their way of going, do you see us now? You know, just hovering over the Holy Land. And then all of a sudden, shoot up into the sky, gone. I mean, it was insane.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of different angles on it because there are a lot of people there. And nowadays, we all have a video camera right in our pocket.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, very cool stuff, you know, because of that, people get to capture on videotape. So this has turned into such a cool discussion, but I do want to switch gears and move over a little bit and talk about when you decided to start writing books and what your inspiration was and what was the first book that you wrote and why.
Well, my first book was Missouri's Haunted Route 66, Ghosts Along the Mother Road. And how that happened was I had a team at the time that was called Route 66 Paranormal Alliance, and I think due to that name is how my editor from History Press contacted me on Facebook and asked me if I'd be interested in writing a book of the haunted locations along Route 66. They were at the time looking for, you know, the whole entire highway, you know, from Illinois to California. That's going to cover a fairly big book. Unless you just have to say, here's a spot and two sentences and then move on, you know. And I said, well, yeah, I could, but there's enough just here in Missouri that I could fill up a book of, you know, the size of it, their requirement and everything. So we went with just the one in Missouri. I'd like to complete the set, but every time I offer suggestions, they keep picking something else. So, you know, maybe someday I'll be able to complete the whole highway. But that's how that came about. And then I, you know, just kind of went from there with some other ideas and stuff with them.
Now, Janice, was Route 66 your first paranormal team that you were with?
Yes. Well, no.
I know that.
That was I actually joined Southwest Ghost Finders here in Springfield. I'm originally from Missouri, but I had moved to Kansas for about 3 years and then moved down to Springfield because I lived up closer by St. Louis. And when I got down here to Springfield, I was looking for a paranormal team to just become a part of, and was with Southwest Ghost Finders. And then whenever I went on to form my own team, then that was Route 66.
Okay, great.
Very cool. So what do you think is the most well-known story about the Route 66 highway and paranormal-wise in Missouri?
Well, probably right along close to Route 66 would be the Limp Mansion in St. Louis.
Probably the most well-known.
Then here in Springfield would be Pythian Castle, I'd say. But there's... And then Spook Light in Joplin, because a lot of people have heard of that. Oh, and Zombie. Well, Zombie on the Road's not really Route 66 then, but Limp would be the most well-known.
Limp is an amazing place, the Limp Mansion. For those of you that aren't aware of it, it's an old mansion that was built by the Limp family back in the 1800s. And at the time, the Limp Brewery was basically what Budweiser is now. They were like the biggest... Yeah. Beer distributor in the country, and just very, very wealthy. And the mansion to this day is very beautiful. It's been turned into basically a bed and breakfast as well as a restaurant. You can actually go and stay in the bedrooms. You can actually eat in the room where one of the family members committed suicide.
Yeah.
And just like the mansion. Yeah, I had an experience up in the bathroom upstairs, the marble bathroom with the white marble. With they call her the Lavender Lady, but I had a pretty bizarre experience up there. And if you ever get to St. Louis, you got to check this place out. Yeah. Anybody can go in, and they will let you wander around the place. You know, just go in and have lunch.
And they do tours, I think, in the evenings.
Yes.
Those tours where they tell you the stories and stuff. We were doing a little bit of an investigation after a tour there, and I was doing a dowsing rod session down in the basement, and the rods were showing different things. And not that I'm big on orbs, but my personal opinion is some orbs can actually be something. But
I agree.
They're going to be different than just your, you know, things that look like water spots or dust or something. There's got to be something pretty outstanding about them. But a whole bunch of things were showing up in the photographs where my rods were going and, you know, pointing and answering questions and stuff. It was just kind of a cool experience with that.
Dave, you are not going to skip over and not tell us what happened in the bathroom with the Lavender Lady.
You'll think I'm insane, but I swear I saw her. And there were a few others with me that swear they saw her. And then we started smelling a very sweet smell that would almost burn your eyes. It was so pungent and sweet, and it was just very strong. And then it was just gone. I had some friends from California out here, and they went. Actually, one of the ladies, after we got in there, she refused to eat there. Something just kind of overtook her, so she went outside while we ate. Then she actually came back in, and this person is not a psychic or sensitive or anything. And we got up there. I mean, it freaked her out so bad, she just left and went out and sat in the car again. So it was just one of those experiences you can't quite explain, you know.
Well, I'm thinking this would be a really good time to just go ahead and take our break. And then when we come back, we're going to talk more with Janice Tremere and discuss some of her other books and also talk about some of the other things she does. And we're going to be back in just a few minutes, so don't touch that mouse.
tired of people complaining that you play your music too loud?
Hey, turn it down, you freaking punks!
Well, turn up the volume and rip that sucker's knob off so you don't have to hear them bitch. GameCon Radio.
Just a reminder, guys, all our talk show hosts here at GameCon Radio volunteer their time, but you can always show your appreciation. Click on the tip jar and give them a little love. I'm sure maybe your predictions will come out a little bit better. And that's how we roll here at GameCon Radio. We rock your game and your paranormal.
Folks, you know I love indie films, and the other day I ran across one called Beer and Seed. It has edge. It's about an older man who returns to college, and it doesn't go well. It even includes this comedy song called I Love the Fat Chicks. I got it off of Amazon.com. You can download it. I rented it. Or, you know what, you can go to www.beerandseedthemovie.com. Indie films are awesome. Beer and Seed has edge. Rent it. I'm not kidding you. It's the greatest thing.
Drama with it.
Welcome back. It's Annette Munich here with Python Radio, and we have Dave with us.
Hello.
I'm going to say a few words about our sponsors and then turn it over to Dave for the Paracon. But before that, our song this week was Bad Romance by Lady Gaga. That kind of grows on you. It really does. It's infectious or something. Okay, our sponsors. We've got the forums over at sgcafe.com. The Supernatural Boards over there invites everyone to go over it and join in on discussions of the unexplained. Share your ghost stories, your haunted places, and your paranormal experiences. And that's forums.sgcafe.com. Supernaturals. I'm going to put that link in. Our second sponsor, we're sponsored by an indie movie. And this was nominated for Best Indie Feature in 2012, Beer and Seed, the movie, www.beerandseedthemovie.com. And that is a comedy about an older gentleman that goes back to college and it doesn't go very well. And we have a sponsor for our Paracon. So I'm going to go ahead and talk about that for a minute because we are sponsored by Sixth Sense World. And Sixth Sense World has psychics, and they also do the Bonaventure Cemetery tours down in Savannah, Georgia. And their website is sixthsenseworld.com. And I will be putting that link in the chat room for you as well. And those ladies, two of them, will be with us at the Paracon. Christy and Ming Slack. Yay. We love them, don't we? And
yes.
Kevin Burlock. And they also have shows over here with us on GCR Internet Radio. We are running their podcasts. Kelly on Monday nights right before DJ Deadeye. At 7 p.m. Central, DJ Deadeye at 8. Christia comes on 7 o'clock on Tuesday with Angel Power Hour, and then 8 o'clock Mo Banshee, and all of our other great shows that we have over here at GCR Internet Radio. Captain Steve right before us on Wednesday, DJ Deadeye following us after our show with Highway of Light. We have the very one-of-a-kind stand with Jurassic Park on Thursdays. On Friday, the lovely Blondie comes and rocks the house. And Saturday, Captain Steve is back again with his second show of the week. And his show on Saturday is My Generation. So, and we have some more stuff coming soon, so stay tuned on that. I'm going to pass it over now to Dave.
Thank you, Annette. The Ozarks Paracon. It's the first event, paranormal event of its type ever in the Ozarks, and it will be held April 6th in Springfield, Missouri, at the beautiful and historical Shrine Mosque. Look it up online. It's an awesome, awesome venue. We have a lot of really great speakers, including Janice Tamir, our guest tonight. We have Keith Age, Edwin Becker, Stephen LaChance, Rob Garcia, Dr. Michael Lynch, Lisa L. Martin. We're going to have all kinds of other paranormal teams there, psychics, artists, you name it, all kinds of great vendors. Tickets are $35 online. You can go to ozarksparacon.com. Also, you can go online to that site and get a vendor spot. We still have some vendor spots open. Those are also $35 each. And the really cool part for me, we've been allowed unprecedented access to investigate the Shrine Mosque overnight. This is just something that they've never allowed. And I don't know what really changed their mind, but they're going to let us go in for a after-hours investigation. We're going to take a small group in, so the tickets are very limited. Those have been selling quite well. We have a few left, so if you want to get in on the overnighter, go to ozarksparacon.com, and you can check out a little info about the investigation, what to expect, a little about the history of the building, as well as the hauntings that people report in the place. And once again, that's Ozarks Paracon, April 6, 2013, in Springfield, Missouri, at the Shrine Mosque Amphitheater.
We will be there.
Yay.
Yay. He's just like, yay. It is very exciting. And you know, it's just sort of blossoming and blooming and growing. And we have a special gift for everyone that buys a ticket. At least I think we have for the first, I know we have for the first 200 people, a copy of the Paranormal Cookbook. And that was donated by Sean. Gosh, I hope I say his name right. Berekhanov? Ooh, I hope I didn't screw that up. But at any rate, he is going to be our guest, not next week, because we have Dr. Michael Lynch next week. But yeah, the week after, he will be joining us, and we will be talking to him about his book, and he's going to be at the conference. And everyone that comes will get a copy of his book when they enter. And I thought that that was just very, very nice. Very cool. Oh, it's not really a cookbook, because I pictured like a devil's food cake with frog legs and stuff, but it's not a cookbook. It's a book of just collection of stories called The Paranormal Cookbook. So let's bring Janice back. Hi, Janice.
Hi.
Hi. So I wanted to, you know, we have 20 minutes left already. That's incredible, isn't it? I wanted to mention about your other books. And, you know, I thought that it was really cool, some of the things that you do, because you are just a very dynamic person. You're learning, you're growing, you do massage, you're studying, you write still, you're in a belly dance troupe, right?
Yes, yes.
Yes, all of these things. It is awesome. I can't manage to get my little world managed, and she's doing everything over here.
Today was kind of a busy day. We had I'm still in school. I actually graduate from massage school this June. But today we had one of our clinics where it was an event that we worked over at the Drury College, and we're under supervision, you know, of a teacher. And they had about five of us there. Dean was one of them, and we were doing chair massage on. We were doing half hour chair massage within a 4 hour span. So we did that, and then that was over 5 o'clock, and I had to run up to belly dance practice and then run home here and throw down some salad and get ready to be on the air. So today was one of those days where you're going, oh my God, what did I do?
Right. Yes. Well, but you know, that's very cool. And I saw on Facebook the other day that you were doing stone massage, hot stone massage.
Yes, that's awesome. If you ever get a chance to have go have a hot stone massage, that's great. We had a weekend class where we were learning to do that, and it's wonderful. We all just kind of melted.
And those are like those big smooth river rocks, right? The big
right.
Yeah.
And the pictures, the photographs that you see are misleading. I mean, they look nice, you know, for advertising purposes, but the stones are heated in like a big turkey roaster of water up to anywhere between 130 and 135 degrees. So you cannot just put that stone directly on the skin. So actually there would be a towel down first on the person, and then the stone laid on top. And then when we get the stone in each hand, and we'll oil up like the leg or the arm, you know, or the back or something, we have to wait until the stones are at least cold enough until we build up more of an immunity to the heat. Yeah. For us to pick up and hold those stones in our hands and then rub them, you know, use them as massage tools. And it just feels amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It actually sounds very amazing. Let's get back to your books for a few minutes, because otherwise we're not going to be able to talk about them at all, unfortunately. But we already touched on a few, and I want to put in a link in the chat room. This is Amazon.com, and on this page you'll see all of her books, which include Haunted Ozarks. and also Haunted Jefferson County, Ghosts of Missouri State Capitol. And those two books we haven't talked about yet at all. So maybe we should talk about Haunted Ozarks.
Okay. And it's weird. Amazon says it's Haunted Jefferson County, but the actual title is Haunted Jefferson City. So they've kind of got that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I noticed that. I was like, wait a minute here.
I know. It's like, why do they have it under Jefferson County? Because that's not right. It's, yeah. But Haunted Ozarks was actually, I had to cut that book back because the current book has, you know, the Missouri Ozarks and Arkansas Ozarks, but I had included the little bit that goes into Kansas and a little bit that kind of Illinois has got a little part that's could kind of be considered Ozarks, and it would have made two books, so they made me cut it down. But it's covers, well, a lot of things here in Springfield and down in northern Arkansas. And I included several like old hillbilly sayings and things in there too, or some of the things that I grew up. My dad grew up in the Ozarks, and so I learned a lot of, you know, colorful sayings and things, you know, that kind of old wives' tales. Maybe not old wives' tales, but folklore and things like that. Like tomatoes are called love apples and stuff like that.
Yeah. Mike talks like that, and I'm still trying to get used to it. He's got some Oklahoma talk. And I used to, because I'm from Chicago originally, he would be saying all kinds of stuff, and I would just be looking at him and trying to be polite. And then I'd just smile and go, I have no idea what you're talking about.
What language is this?
I've been here 28 years, and I'm still hearing new things almost like weekly. And I still have to go, what did you say?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I did put the link for that, and also I want to drop the link for Janice on Facebook if anybody wants to friend her up. And the Ozarks is a very after you're here for a while and you really kind of get into it, there's an awful lot of paranormal stuff going on here. You know, we talked about UFOs, also the paranormal, which there's some paranormal, meaning, you know, ghost stuff everywhere, but also, you know, stuff kind of like the Bigfoot type sightings. So they call, I'm going to say it wrong. Is it Moo Moo or Mau Mau?
Momo.
Yeah. I was so close this time. Very cool.
Yeah, so Missouri Monster. So that's what it stands for, Missouri Monster.
Okay. Momo for Missouri. I get it. So you know, that's kind of interesting too, and they have a lot of that actually really close around the Springfield area.
Yeah, there's all kinds of things. And Sean, I've been chatting with him back and forth emailing, so I'm sure he'll be able to tell you some more things. But there's like the Hellhound in Nixa, which is south of Springfield. And he was telling me about supposedly some gargoyle sighting and werewolf sightings. And up towards Rolla, I believe, Dave, up more around your direction, there was supposed to be a bit of a Momo monster with like glowing red eyes and stuff. Because
yes,
Momo originally
that,
is supposed to have come from Louisiana, which is sort of like up north towards Hannibal, and was supposed to be faked by a couple little girls. But there's still been other sightings, you know, that people have seen. And then the big Thunderbird that has been reported over there by Six Flags on Highway 44. Which was kind of weird. I was traveling in towards St. Louis a couple of years ago, back and forth when I was doing the appearing at the paranormal convention there in DeSoto, and I looked up in my rearview mirror and there was this huge, huge bird flying across the highway. I thought, man, too bad he's not closer because he looks pretty big. Maybe I might have seen something, you know, not a normal bird too, but it was freaky.
See, I haven't heard about a lot of that stuff yet, but werewolves?
Yeah, and I haven't really heard too much about it. Like I said, Sean, you might ask Sean, because he's the one that told me about it, because he's had some people giving him some reports on that, and I don't know that much about it. he just started mentioning that to me that he'd been getting reports on a werewolf up around him near the Springfield area.
When I was in Chicago, they had a lot of stories about werewolves in Wisconsin. I mean, seriously. So, you know, you might think, werewolves, oh brother, nobody, you know, has a werewolf, but, you know, I'm just bringing up another area of the country where I actually have heard werewolf stories.
Yeah. I think this was supposed to be, you know, a wolf type of creature, but more man-shaped and stood upright, and I'm sure he can give more details and everything on it.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting show because his book is filled with all kinds of things like that, and he's from Springfield, too. So, you know, he's going to have a lot of localized stories to talk about, you know, in this area. Very cool. So, Janice, are you writing anything right now?
Well, I've been working on a fiction, fantasy, urban fantasy. Oh. And I want to write another book that's a little bit beyond the scope of what my current publisher does, because it would be a little bit more with like my experiences or what we do as a paranormal team type of thing that they're not looking for so much, because they're more based on and Dave can tell you about this too, more based on the history of the location and the stories around it. But I actually submitted a proposal to them that is about haunted bed and breakfast around here, and my editor suggested maybe Dave and I collaborate on it. So, who knows?
Very
right.
Cool.
Yeah.
There's a story about a place over by me. I can't remember the name of it. It used to be a school over here. It's not really in Joplin. God, I want to say down around Carthage, maybe. I had to look that up for you.
Well, there's Prosperity Bed and Breakfast that's just outside of Joplin that is haunted. I've written about that in one of the books, and actually have been there a couple of times. That's a pretty cool place.
I think that's it, Prosperity, actually, yes.
Yeah, and it was one of the places, you know, when the tornado went through Joplin that did not get touched. So that was, you know, and that was weird. When we went to do the spook life, we saw what was, you know, the aftermath of the tornado there. So,
it's terrible. I don't even know how many years it will take before you won't be able to tell that something happened there. It's just, and at night it's still very, very creepy when you look in that direction. It's like looking out on the dark side of the moon with the broken off trees, and some of them, the bark sucked all the way off, and just really, really bad. And this is after, it'll be 2 years in May.
Yeah.
Of them constantly cleaning and trying to rebuild, and it still looks like that. They put a lot of businesses back, but the residential area, yeah, it's crazy. It's bad. I'm a little bit afraid of springtime now. I'll just stick with putting my coat on if I had my choice, because I'm like, when I hear the siren go off, I'm just like, shit, we gonna die.
Well, what was it, a couple of years ago here in February? Wasn't it February that a whole bunch of tornadoes hit?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It was. That was amazing.
I wasn't good at all.
No.
Yep, very bad. You know, stuff like that, you know, is just devastating, the size of that tornado that came through here. It was like a mile wide and 8 miles long, and really just took out about a third of this town. And there's an interesting story connected to that, actually, because they had little kids that didn't know each other reporting seeing butterfly people coming out of the sky and helping people. Which, of course, you know, you would interpret that they're talking about angels.
Mm-hmm.
But they even have a mural now on Main Street that they painted of the butterfly people. Of course, it looks like angels, but they made the wings look kind of like butterfly wings.
Wow.
That is a really cool story about the butterfly people of Joplin.
Yeah, that's the first I've heard of that one. Wow.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, really? You guys didn't hear that?
No. Now, I did hear that right after the tornado hit, you know, and people were starting to try to clean up, that they were seeing ghosts or spirits of people coming out of what used to be their homes and walking the streets, like, you know, as though they didn't know yet what had happened to them.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I've run into several paranormal investigators, not so much even people from around here, that are just dying to get to Joplin to investigate where somebody's home stood. And yeah. I'm like, you know, I have a slight issue with that. I don't know. I don't know where you draw the line with that sort of thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Kind of like, you know, even though it's been 2 years, you might want to...
Well, I would think that, like, there's a lot of stores on the main drag, big stores, that a lot of people died in that day, and they're rebuilt now right on the same spot. Mm-hmm. A brand new version of that store. And like my son-in-law, we had a very big stroke of luck, because he was working at a location for 2 weeks, and he got transferred the day before to a different store, and that store that he was in got totally, I mean, blown away, to the point where you couldn't even tell it was a bunch of piles of rubble. What pile of rubble? You know, you try and picture it when you go down the street in your mind. Wasn't that on this block? Where was it?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just piles of rubble. And 7 people died in there. Next door was Sonic. 7 people died in there. Bunch of people died in Academy. Bunch of people died in Walmart. They had people that ran to Walgreens, and they're trying to open the door, and then the one guy walks around. It was brand new. It still had the building permit. He walks around, and he goes, quit trying to open the door. The whole back of the store is gone. There's nothing in here.
Wow.
So, and all of those places are rebuilt. So I would think that there's probably going to be an awful lot of stories coming out of this area.
Yeah.
And... you know, it all happened so very, very fast. And a guy that we know here, he said that right afterwards, he actually saw dead bodies in trees.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Yeah.
So, and a lot of people died after that, too, because one thing that you don't think about is that a lot of gases get released and poisonous materials go into the air, and then if you have a wound, it gets in your wound, and you get like a serious infection, and that kills off other people that actually made it through the tornado, you know. Mm. Bad stuff.
Yeah.
So we have the little emergency radio, and it goes off, and I'm ready to hit the deck at any time. I've got an emergency kit, and it's like, yeah, let's go. Go into the basement with the spiders. I don't care. So, Janice, don't you have an investigation at Pythian Castle this weekend coming up?
No, not this weekend. We were actually there last month. We were going to be there this weekend, but
okay.
They, instead of having like us back because of the Paracon coming up, they decided that that was getting all the advertisement. So we were there last month, and that was a pretty nice investigation. It was open to the public, and that was like about a 4-hour one. I think there's talk of us coming back and doing another one, but everybody was, well, you know, very respectful, and we were there kind of trying to make sure that if anybody needed help or had questions or anything like that, you know, they could come ask somebody, well, how does this work, or what is this? Show us pictures and stuff they got. That was pretty cool.
That is cool.
Yeah, that's Pythian Castle's a gorgeous place, too. It's,
oh, man.
Have you ever been in it, Dave?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have not actually, like, investigated there. Uh-huh. But I do know Tamara and go over and chat with her on occasion and such, so... I know her dogs and her mother.
Yeah. And the cats. There's cats.
Yeah, yeah. The dogs, they're insane. They like to play out in the back, play frisbee.
I mean, one of the really cool things, too, about Pythian is that it's kept up, and they do weddings there, and you can, you know, book it for different kinds of things, so it's not like going through some old ruined place where it's rickety, and no, this place is gorgeous, it's kept up, and it's available for rental and different things that they have going on there. So I like that. I hesitate a little bit about people wanting to go through buildings in a very bad condition in the dark and, you know, maybe weak flooring or asbestos or, you know, things you might not anticipate.
Yeah, I've been in some of those places where there's holes in the floor, or one place we were at going up into a loft of an old barn, and the ladder up to the top was missing some steps. And in fact, Harney Mansion there in Sullivan, with Southwest Ghost Finders, we were going up stairs. It's closed off now, at least it was the last time I was there. And it had a small little staircase that went up to the second floor. And the stairs collapsed underneath of me when I was on them, and I almost went down through it because it was just in that bad of shape. But Pythian's kept up really nice.
Very nice. So what do you have coming up this year? Anything exciting that you'd like to talk about?
Well, I with being in school, I've kind of stepped back from a lot of things because I just don't have the time to be everywhere at one time. But the Ozarks Paracon coming up, and hopefully back at Pythian some more, and I'm trying to get some other investigations going on, but that's after we get out of school, because we go to school during the week, but we have a lot of special weekend classes, so it makes it hard for me to schedule things because I'm not hardly home or in town. But mostly right now, the big thing is the Ozarks Paracon coming up.
I love to hear you say that.
Well, then, besides that, I have a couple of shows, but they're belly dancing appearances, so, you know.
Very cool. And, you know, with me putting the link, they can find your books. And I also put the link for your Facebook. Okay. So if anybody wants to go ahead and check her out on Facebook as well, you can keep up with Janice and some of the stuff that she's doing. And we hope that you can come back and talk to us some more sometime, Janice, because unfortunately we ran out of time.
Yeah, I'd be happy to come back, man.
That would be awesome.
Most indeed.
So I want to thank you so much for being on, and thanks, Dave.
You're welcome.
And next week we have Dr. Michael Lynch, and Dr. Michael Lynch is also going to be at the Paracon, so that'll be an exciting show, and he is a very fascinating person who develops some of his own paranormal equipment even, which is extremely cool.
Yep, I got to use some of that when we were up at Pythian Castle, not Pythian, at Limp Mansion. So, yeah, he's got some pretty cool stuff.
Very awesome. Everybody stay tuned, because right after our show, DJ Deadeye is going to come on, and he's going to be doing his Highway of Light show. So thank you all for tuning in, and we'll be back next week.